help us to begin with hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting soul set free, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, our every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. 1134. To read from Acts chapter 8, the Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near, and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most merciful and gracious God, oh, we do seek thee, Lord, for thy sweet presence to be known and felt here as we gather once more. O Lord, one of old said, "What is the house to me, unless the master there I see?" And oh, we pray that we may have a glimpse by faith this evening of Jesus only, and that thou wilt draw our hearts and our affections heavenward. O Lord, we would pray as the two that journeyed to Emmaus did, that thou wilt abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And O Lord, may we be favoured like they were, for thou didst go in and abide with them. Oh, we pray that thou wilt speak to our never-dying souls. For thou hast said, "My sheep, hear my voice." And oh, Lord, we pray that we may have that ear to hear of what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and that thou would open the ear of our heart, as thou didst, dear Lord, to Lydia of old. And oh, that we might be found among the true worshippers that worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And oh, Lord, as we come before thee, we do desire a spirit of real worship, that the blessed Holy Spirit will descend from heaven, Lord, as we have read, and how we need that divine anointing from above, how thy people need, Lord, thy blessed Spirit to apply the word with power. that which is sown in weakness may be raised in power. And, O Lord, as we come before Thee, we would not rush into Thy presence as the unthinking horse rushes into battle. But, oh, we would come pleading the precious name, the precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus. And, oh, we pray for that sweet access at the throne of grace. O Lord, do blot out all our many, many sins. One said, with my burden I'll begin. O Lord, remove this load of sin. And how we need Thee to wash us and to make us white in the blood of the Lamb, and to clothe us in that glorious righteousness of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, do give us, Lord, a grain of faith that we might believe, even to the saving of our souls. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that Thou wilt go before us in all the untrodden steps of life's journey. Oh, may Thy presence be our stay and guide us in this dangerous way. Help us, dear Lord, to lean hard upon Thee, to trust Thee where we cannot trace Thee, to cast all our cares upon Thee, and, oh, that we may have the sweet assurance Thou carest for us. Oh, do grant, Lord, that the fearful, Thou knowest how many of Thy people are full of fears. And, oh, that Thou wilt speak a fear not to Thy fearful ones. Those, Lord, that a longing for a token for good, oh, we pray Thou wilt grant it to them. We would plead with the dear psalmist, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. O Lord, help us to continually look to Thee. Give us that faith, Lord, that singleness of eye, that we might ever be looking unto Jesus, and that our eyes might be looking right on, and our eyelids straight before us. And, O Lord, do help us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Grant us, Lord, that grace to endure to the end, to hold on our way. Oh, do make us steadfast and unmovable. May we be found upon that blessed rock, even Jesus. One said, on this firm rock believers build. O Lord, we would bear before Thee Thy dear people. And knowest, Lord, those unable to be here, those in affliction's pathway, we pray for healing mercies if it would please Thee to be given. And, oh, that Thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions, we pray, and all Thy dealings to us each, Lord. May we not just come through these things, but, oh, may we be profited by them. We might be able to say with the dear servant of God, Hezekiah, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. And O Lord, we pray for thy servants in their afflictions, that thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. And O, we pray that there may be a blessing in it all, and that once again they may preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And remember all thy dear servants and help them, Lord, in all their labour. Grant them strength equal to each day, and thou knowest how many labour under weakness. But oh, may they out of weakness be made strong. And we would seek for grace, Lord, to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. Oh, do ever keep us, Lord, near thy dear feet, humbled in the dust. Deliver us from ourselves, our own deceitful heart, the hidden evils within us. And oh, do keep us, Lord, tender and in thy fear. And we would pray for those that have no desire to gather. Many prodigals, Lord, have forsaken Zion's way. Oh, if it would please thee, hasten the hour when they might return, that there may be those, Lord, that shall begin to be in want. And I say, I shall return to my Father's house where there is meat and to spare. Lord, the power's thine. And oh, that there may be an awakening of many sinners round, even in this village, and around our own flock and in around Zion, Lord. For thou hast said, the ransom of the Lord shall return and shall come to Zion, and they shall come with weeping and with supplications. Will I lead them? Oh, stir us up, Lord, or any are settling down on their leaves. May there be many stirred up and rightly exercised in Zion in these solemn days. And we pray, dear Lord, that would add to the church here precious souls, if it would please. Lord, do build up the churches, if it be thy holy will. And oh, that there may be a time of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord, thy name honoured and glorified. And we would pray, dear Lord, for those who are away at this time, thou wilt bless them where they are, and may they be fed and nourished in their souls and refreshed in body and in spirit and in mind, and brought back at the appointed time in peace and safety. And O Lord, we do need thee to go before us and prepare us for thy will, and grant us each that grace to be submissive, Lord. One said, let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine. But while I feel afflictions roll, be still and know that thou art God. And O Lord, do comfort all that are bereaved, and remember all thy dear people in all their need and all their circumstances, and the dear young people and dear children. Oh, do work in them, we pray, while in early days. Fulfill thy precious word, for thou didst say it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Oh, may there be those in this sanctuary, in our own flock, Lord, brought to bear the yoke in their youth, and to both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. O Lord, help us to pray for our guilty nation. Oh, we beg of thee to turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. Deliver us from the wicked, wickedness and sin that abounds, the violent and evil men. And O Lord, may there be in our leaders and rulers a desire to seek thy face. Lord, thou canst put it there. There may be those brought to seek thy help in the affairs of this land and to look to thee for what to do in all the crisis we're in so many ways. May thy tender filial fear be put in our Queen and the royal family, and thy eternal blessings rest upon her and all the family, Lord. Oh, do in mercy appear. And we would praise thee for the beautiful sunshine, the showers, and for the harvest, Lord. And we pray that there may be a good harvest and suitable weather to gather the rest in, if it would please thee. We would thank thee for the mercies of providence, the mercies of grace. Oh, we would love and praise thee more. Do bless the deacons here and help them in all their need. And I give them that wisdom and grace and godly discernment to discern and know thy will in all things. And do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray that we may be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And thou wilt touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. Thou wilt give us, Lord, strength for this hour, help from heaven. And, oh, help thy dear people to hear. May we not be a burden to them, Lord, but may it please thee that we might each hear thy voice and lose sight of this poor sinner and see no man save Jesus only. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. Pardon all our sins and our iniquities. We would ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462.
Thank you.
seeking for the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you again to Romans chapter 8 and verse the 14th. Paul's epistle to the Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You will remember that this morning we looked a little, first of all, of the great need of the blessed Holy Spirit being upon us, and how vital it is, lest we should walk alone and go in our own way. And one's felt much since we left it this morning, the desire will be this: Lord, may thy Spirit rule my spirit. Because if we are left to our own spirit, we just bring hardness and rebelliousness and coldness and deadness into our own souls. But under the blessed Holy Spirit, there will be gracious humility given, and grace to be nothing, and to be submissive to the Lord's mind and his holy will. Then we looked at a few things we need leading from, to be led out of self to the dear Redeemer, and led away from this world, led away from all the things that are grieving to the Lord, led away from sinning to seek the Lord for mercy. And then we looked at the other side of how the Lord leads his dear children to a precious Christ as their only hope, their only place of refuge. Like the dear psalmist prayed, didn't he? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Do you desire, and do I tonight, the Lord knows, to be led to the dear Redeemer and led to his dear feet? But I want us helped to look at this from a few further viewpoints as help this evening. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we would begin, and I seek to be led into this evening. We would begin by looking a little at the leadings of providence. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to be led in the steps of providence. If you want a sweet illustration of this, you can look in the case of Abraham's servant. We look this morning of how we need to be led what to pray for and led how to pray. But you look at that dear servant of Abraham when the Lord had laid on him that solemn charge to go and to seek a wife for Isaac. It was no light matter, that charge, you know. It was not just the charge of Abraham to his beloved servant. It was the charge of God. There may be those of you this evening that have got weights upon you that a burden in you, and you seek to be led by the Lord to do what is right in them. And so that dear servant, you look how he was led to pray. And then you look how he was led in all the steps of that journey to seek to do God's will. And when the Lord gave him his request and answered his petitions, you look how he was led out in praise to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be led to praise the Lord. You know, the world, Mr. Tyler used to say, Mr. Sperling Tyler at the Dicker, he used to say, the world look upon God's people as a miserable lot. But he said, you know, they're the happiest people that walk this earth, because it's only they that will ever truly praise him. And oh, you look at that dear servant of God, you know. He was not only led in prayer, not only led in the steps of providence to Rebecca, and she came forth, but led to praise the Lord. How many times do you ask the Lord to lead your heart out in praise to him, especially when he's answered your petitions, granted your request, and you can see his hand going before you? And that dear servant, you know, saw the wonderful leading of the Lord, didn't he? The very thing that he prayed for, the Lord gave it to him. And Rebecca came forth and uttered the very words that he prayed she would say. But then, you young ones, in your pathways regarding maybe a husband, regarding a wife, regarding maybe your employment, the future pathway, you seek the Lord to lead you and to watch his hand leading you in the way he would have you to go. And in doing this, as grace and help is given, you'll be able to see the Lord work, and to see him work wondrously. And then we would look at it regarding the wonderful leading of the Holy Spirit. I hinted at it in conclusion this morning, to be led into the sufferings of Christ and into his agonies. And so often, you know, the Lord will bring his dear people into paths of agony and paths of suffering to lead them into a little of what he endured. The hymn writer said, what he endured no tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell. But, you know, it's a sacred place to be led into the Garden of Gethsemane, to the foot of the cross, to look on him whom we have pierced. Oh, to be led there by faith, to view our dear Redeemer in all his agonies. And I'll tell you what, if the Holy Spirit leads you a little into those sacred places, it'll melt the hardest part of your poor heart. Oh, it will. And that's a very sacred place to be led, you know, to view him suffering in your room, place and stead. And oh, may we ever be led to view that glorious resurrection too. Oh, to wait around. The hymn writer speaks of it, doesn't he? to wait around the tomb to see him rise. A risen Saviour. And you look how those dear women were led up to the sepulchre by the Lord. And they went there so exercised, didn't they? So burdened, feeling that they lost everything, the dear Redeemer taken from them, laid in the tomb, and they went up on that Easter Sabbath morn. And oh, the exercise of soul. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And is that your concern this evening? There may be those of you, and I seek to be led here, that have those great stones of your sin, the great stones of providence, the great stones of an exercise. And oh, they went up. Who shall roll us away the stone? And they couldn't roll it away. They were weak characters. And who are those that need leading? Those that cannot lead themselves. It's like a little child, isn't it? When that begins to walk, it's led along by its dear mother and father. And that's just what the Lord does with his dear people. He takes hold their hand and he gently leads them. We read of it in Isaiah, where he gently leads those that are with you. And oh, to be led, the Lord take you by the hand and lead you. But then, oh, to be led like they were, to view that glorious resurrection morn, and led to see the stone was rolled away. Now they couldn't do it, but they had to look to him who could. I've often mentioned it, but it's very sweet to me. You know, there was only one thing they had to do. Now all they had to do was look. And you think of that tonight. Dying sinner, look and live. And they looked, and the stone was rolled away. And oh, may you see all those stones that may trouble you tonight just rolled away. And the Lord lead you to look. And those children of Israel, when they were serpent bitten in the wilderness, there they were, raging fever within them. Perishing with the bites of the serpent. And what did the Lord say to Moses? Make a serpent of brass and lift it on a pole, and all they that look should be saved. And oh, how they were led to look. Faith will look to the dear Redeemer, you see. Dying sinner, look and live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But then, I want to look at it in this way. It came to me so powerfully in the vestry just before the service. A beautiful word in Isaiah, where he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Now there may be some of you that are walking in things you've never walked in before. In your soul, in your pathway, maybe in the family, in the church of God. Maybe in your circumstances. We read concerning the children of Israel, don't we? That ye have not walked this way heretofore. But he says, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And so often those powers they have not known are very crucifying to the flesh. Very difficult to walk out, wondering where the scene will end. But he says, I will lead them in paths they have not known. And that means, as he's leading you, you're not in it alone. Here we read in the text, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And if the Lord is leading you, it means that he's with you in it, leading you in those paths. And you may say, well, why have I got to walk in them? Well, there are many reasons, of course. I'll name just one or two. First of all, it's to make you further exercise, more exercise than you would be. Because prior to it, you may have been in a state of lukewarmness, coldness, deadness, lifelessness in your soul, but now you're in things you've not walked in before, and it really exercises you. And the Lord will have his dear people exercise. If you look back to our godly forefathers, they were well-exercised souls because they had to wade through so much in providence and in grace. And he'll bring you into it, he'll lead you in this, to make you well-exercised, well-concerned about your own soul and the pathway you're in. And it'll cause you to, he'll lead you into it, it'll cause you to look to him more, to cry to him more, to make you more and more fervent in prayer, earnest seeking the Lord. And then in these paths that you have not known, it may be he's brought you into this to make you depend upon him more and more, lean harder upon him. It's like the spouse when she came up from the wilderness. How did she come up? Leaning upon her beloved. She got nowhere else to go, had she? What about you? What about me? Where are we leaning this evening? Are you leaning on self? Are you leaning on your own understanding? Are you leaning on some arm of flesh? Or leaning on something of this earth? When we should be leaning upon the dear Lord Jesus, on her beloved Lord, she leans. And that's one of the safest places you can lean for some. Oh, it is. Don't lean anywhere else, because all other props will fail. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, in these paths you have not known. And then you need the Lord more than ever, don't you? I remember going into Eastbourne Chapel, and over the years I've had many burdens of Zion put upon me, which I have not known what to do. And I remember being in a situation concerning one of our churches, and I just did not know what to do. And I went into Eastbourne Chapel to hear the late Mr. Simmons preached. And he preached from those words I quoted just now, ye have not walked this way heretofore. And I said, Lord, that's just where I am. And you know, that dear man, he went right into it. And he said, now what you've got to do is to sit still and watch the Lord work. And he's brought you into this to make you feel your emptiness, your poverty, your lack of wisdom, and to teach you. And it was just as though the dear man knew everything I was in. And I sat in the pew absolutely amazed at the Lord's mercy and goodness. And he said, now you've got to sit and you've got to watch and you'll see the Lord work. And you know, I didn't have to touch the matter. The Lord did it all. It was painful, bitter at the time, but you know, while I was in it, it made me very dependent upon the Lord. I said, just keep saying, Lord, don't let me do anything myself, but thou do it all. And you know, when the Lord does it all, it really humbles us, doesn't it? It really melts us. You see the Lord's goodness. What did he say to Moses? I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. And you'll see that, you see. And I look back on it now, and I could see how wonderfully the Lord did it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then I want to look at it too as helped, how the Lord leads his dear people in his sacred ways. In his commandments. And when we think of the commandments of the Lord, the subject of course is vast. There are so many blessed commandments throughout God's holy word. But you may have wondered why we read together that 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Well, we read it for two reasons. The first was this. Look how wonderfully the Lord led Philip. That seemed to so rest upon me as soon as this text came. How the Lord led him. You know, he was placed by the Lord in Samaria. And in Samaria, the Lord wonderfully blessed his ministry there. Favoured him. Anointed him. And gave him many tokens. But then the Lord said to him, arise, and go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. Now it was a clear command. The Lord was to lead him out of Samaria, and he was to lead him to a place which was a desert. When I left Ashwell, I said I'd never take another pastorate. My wife said to me, you may have to eat your own words. And that was true, you know. And when the Lord laid on me in Cornwall, while I was ill, resting there, the church at the Dicker, he said to me, arise, go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. The natural man and my nature said, Lord, I don't want to go into a desert. None of us would, because there isn't much life there, is there? Barrenness. And this is doubtless how Philip felt. How can we go into a desert? But the Spirit was leading him there, you see. Oh, he was. And that's a wonderful thing to experience. The Lord leading. Now, this not only can apply to a servant of God, but it can apply to the Lord's dear people. There are times where he'll lead them into a desert. Oh, he will. A place where there seems no growth, no fruit, no liveliness at all, a barren land. And it may be in that barren land he has to teach you many lessons. We read concerning, I think it's concerning Isaac, where the Lord told him to sojourn in the land. And that sojourning wasn't to be easy. Now the Lord led Philip down there. It was a clear command. But to a place the flesh wouldn't want to go. But you know, the Lord was leading him. The Lord was there. Oh, he was in that desert. And then as he sees the eunuch reading in the prophecy of Isaiah, that sacred passage on the sufferings of Christ, what does the Spirit say? Let's be very clear, it was no man, the Spirit we read, said unto Philip, hear a clear command, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go near. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord says such a word as that. The Spirit says it. And he'll say it in your poor heart. And the chariot, of course, can mean many things. One meaning of it can be a person well exercised concerning following the Lord and casting in their lot with the church. The chariot being the church of God. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Be a wonderful mercy if the Lord said it to one tonight, wouldn't it? Go near and join thyself. And you see, the Lord made Philip, and this is a point we need to prayerfully consider, he made him absolutely willing. First to go down to Gaza, and then to join himself to the chariot. We read in the 110th Psalm, and I think I preached from it here years ago, that beautiful word, my people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He will make his dear children willing. He made Philip willing, didn't he? And then as the eunuch reads that sacred passage and he asks Philip the question, you say, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And what did Philip say to him? We read this. He began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. And you look how, well, Philip preached, and Philip was led, you see, the eunuch was led to read that sacred passage. It wasn't by chance that he was reading it. And he needed the Holy Spirit to send Philip there to preach to him a precious Christ, whom the Word was full of. And then they came to a certain water. And you look how the eunuch was led by the Lord to speak. And he was led to that certain water. The Lord had provided it. I may have told you this before, but whenever I think about the provision of that water in the desert, I remember a dear old lady in Kent many years ago, in my early days in the ministry, she said to me about her mother's experience. Now, her mother was a member at Bounds Cross Chapel, Biddenden. And in the days, and her mother was getting on toward 100, in her early days, the Lord constrained her to tell the church what great things the Lord had done for her. Well, in those days, the only way the pool was filled was by rainwater. And dear Mr. Kemp, who was a pastor there then, he said to her, well, my dear, the church unanimously receives you, but we've got no water. And it was a great trial to that dear woman. She felt the Lord had led her in the step, the Lord had led the church to be exercised about her and received her, and yet there was no water. But Mr. Kemp said, we need faith to venture to name the date when we shall venture to baptize you, and pray to heaven for God to send the water. And the pool was filled by the dam pipes of the chapel. And the day drew near, only a day or two to go before the baptizing date. No water. But the dear woman was pleading with the God of heaven to confirm that her exercise was right and he had led her. And as she read the word of God, she came across this word. And the Lord spoke it right into her heart. The rain also filleth the pools. And the dear woman said, I could go to sleep knowing that God, who had spoken those words and led her to them, would send the rain. And there was a tremendous thunderstorm that night, and the pool was full and overflowing. And the dear woman, she said, I wept for joy. The Lord had led me, he provided, he made the way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the Lord can do it today. Now they came to a certain water. And that's a beautiful description, isn't it? In the desert, the Lord had provided it, you see. That confirmed to Philip and to the eunuch the whole matter was of the Lord. And oh, how they both went down into the water and he baptized him. Leading in his sweet commandments, you see. He makes his commandments their choice, the hymn writer said. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now it may be the Lord is leading you in paths of affliction, paths of trial. But poor soul, the day will come when he'll lead you right out of them all. It may be he'll lead you out into a wealthy place in your soul, so you can praise his blessed holy name. You think of Hezekiah, how the Lord led him into that path of affliction, into that great path of trial and bitter opposition from the king of Assyria, and all the sentence of death that was upon him, and the Lord led him into that. But you look how the Lord brought him out into a wealthy place. Now there are two things, just briefly, I want to name. First of all, we read in the Psalms, don't we, that beautiful word, thou broughtest us through fire and through water, and thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. We went through fire, through water, but the Lord brought them into a wealthy place. That is a place, a moist place. A place of real growth. You see, it's in these things the soul grows in grace. As they are led by the Spirit. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And a wealthy place, in the margin it says, if I remember rightly, a moist place, which is a place of growth, of prosperity. Now they were led there. And this is where the Lord brought Hezekiah. You look at that song of deliverance of dear Hezekiah. After the Lord brought him out of all the affliction, delivered him from the Assyrian army, from Sennacherib and all the enemies, and brought him out in his soul into a very wealthy place. You know, there's many in Zion. I long for it at first each, to be brought into a real wealthy place in our souls. A prosperous place, you see, where Christ is all in all and the sinner's in the dust. But then the second thing I was going to name was this. The time had come where the Lord would bring us right out of all this vale of tears. He that has led thee hitherto, he as has brought thee thus far, will lead you home to glory. These sons of God, you see, are to inherit heaven. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're heirs of heaven. Joint heirs with Christ. The apostle speaks of it here, doesn't he? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. They're heirs of glory. There's a blessed prospect, you see, before them. And he that's led you thus far and through the journey will lead you home to God. Oh, he will. And while you're here, there will be times where he'll lead you to view just a little of the glory there is in heaven, the sweet prospect of heaven. I think of what the hymn writer said. If such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee? Oh, to be led heavenward. And then in our affections, in our hearts, to be led heavenward. Oh, to have a glimpse within the veil. What did the apostle say? We see, as it were, through a glass darkly, but then we shall see him without a veil between, and see him as he is. And oh, to be led to view a little of the sweet prospect of being with Christ in glory. Mr. Sperling Tyler used to say in his deep ministry, he said, you know, a religion without a prospect is not worth having. And you think tonight, if we've not got a prospect, the prospect of being with Christ in glory. And the Lord has set it before you, see. I'll tell you why I say that, because when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, what did he do? He didn't just put them in the wilderness and leave them, did he? He put them in that wilderness journey, but he set something before them. He set the land of Canaan before them. And the trouble was, and the trouble with us is, they didn't keep the land in view. If only they could have kept the land in view, they wouldn't have had half the trouble they did, or half the unbelief. But they didn't. Unbelief crept in. Sin plagued them. They fell into temptations and drifted into idols and wandered from the Lord. But he set before them the land. What does the hymn writer say? Oh, that we could climb where Moses stood and viewed the landscape o'er, not death's cold streams nor Jordan's flood would fright them from the shore. Oh, to have that prospect before us. And I believe, you know, the Lord does give his little remnant, his dear children, that faith to have a glimpse within the veil. They are the sons of God. So are we being led? Well, let me come low. Do you desire to be? And do you desire to be led to Christ? Do you desire to be led in the right way? And led to fall at the feet of Jesus as a poor, submissive, humble sinner, desiring to know no will but His. Desiring to be led in His sweet ways, His sweet commandments, and led into His truth, and led at the throne of grace. They are, He says, the sons of God. There's no doubt about this. Look at the certainty here. He didn't say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, may be the sons of God. They are, the apostle says, the sons of God. The blessed evidence of heaven is upon them, the seal of sonship. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Well, I've scratched the surface, I must leave it, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word to us, and may we see the Lord going before us, leading us on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £810, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Ashby is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Wallace next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 812. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state, then listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. 812.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. We need thee to continually lead us and guide us and direct us. And may thy sweet presence be with us each now as we separate. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.